Good morning, everyone. My name is Francesco Di Gioia. I'm assistant professor of vegetable crop science at Penn State, where I started working last year. And today I'm going to present some of the results of a study we conducted when I was still in Florida, working at the USDA ARS in Fort Pierce, with my colleague Christina Pisani, Jason Ong, and Erin Roscoff. And I'm going to talk a little bit about microgreens as a potential source of minerals. To start, I would like to give a little definition of microgreens. Microgreens are considered like immature greens produced from the seeds of vegetable crops, herbs, also some cereal grains in general, and also wild edible species. And they are characterized by a very short cycle. Usually they are harvested 20 days after germination, when the cotyledons are fully expanded and still turgid and in full color. And we have just an hint or sometimes small true leaves. Microgreens are considered kind of a new, relatively new category of greens that has characteristics that are completely different compared to sprouts and baby leaf, and with several advantages in this sense toward both sprouts and baby leaf, and are pretty popular in the food industry among chefs and like top restaurant because they are used as a garnish green for their color, different shape and texture, and because they add value to any dish, even simple dish. And recently the literature has shown that microgreens are a very good source of bioactive compounds, including phenols, vitamins, in general, antioxidant. And there is some work coming out on minerals. And our question was, are microgreens also... can microgreens be a good source of minerals, especially some minerals? So to answer that question, we conducted a study at the USDA in Fort Pierce in the spring of 2018 in a greenhouse environment with a cooling system, and we selected 17 species of microgreens, and those were grown in a soilless system using a natural fiber felt called Biostrate, and we used alpha-oglan solution without micronutrients because we wanted to see what was the content of micronutrients coming from the seeds. And we used an open cycle management, and we had a randomized complete block design with tree replication. So in this picture you can see the setup of that we built with those channels and a line, a drip line that delivered the fertigation from the top, and then it was discharged at the bottom. And we try to guarantee like at least 10-20% of drainage. This is in this table. You can see the list of the species that we considered, and belonging to 7 different families. So we selected those species based on how popular they are among growers that produce microgreens, and also making sure that we pick different families, different colors, and different type of greens. So we had amaranth, scallion, sunflower, borage, a lot of brassica, arugula, broccoli, red cabbage, cress, red Russian kale, mizuna, then mustard and radish. Also, we had red beet, two type of basil, red and green, and shiso and lemon balm. So for all these peaches, we did the 1,000 seed weight. We tested the germinability, and we also defined the seed density based on the species, and it ranged from 1 seed per square centimeter to up to 7.5 in the case of garnet red amaranth. Of course, the seeding took a lot of work, and we used this mat Like we cut them 25 centimeter by 25 centimeter, and in the middle we had a square of equal size that we used to assess the yield and to count the shoots at the end. So after that we seeded, everything was overhead watered with a misting system using just DI water. And then after that we cover everything with a white film. It was actually black and white. And until the seeds started germinating, then as they were germinating, we uncovered them and left the other ones covered. And we managed the crop, and then we start harvesting them when they reached commercial growth stage. And so the first greens were harvested 10 days after we seeded, and the last one was harvested 29 days after. So here a few pictures of what we produce. So this is the sunflower, red arrow radish, broccoli, arugula, red Russian kale, mizuna. This is mustard, the cress, red cabbage, the borage, the basil and the shiso, and this was the scallion. So what we did was to measure the yield and the variation of yield, the variation of the single shoot size, and also the content of dry matter. And there was a lot of variation. The most productive was red arrow radish. The one that was less productive was lemon balm, which had also the longest cycle. The shoot fresh weight ranged from 16.7 milligrams in the case of amaranth that had high density, and so very small shoot. And the largest was sunflower that has a big seed. So one thing that we saw is that there is a good relationship between the seed size and the final size of the single shoot. So this is something interesting. Then we look at, once we harvest, we collected the soil, the samples, and we put them in the oven and did the analysis for macro and micronutrients. And we had a lot of variation. So I'm not going into detail of all the variation, but in this graph I put like the content, for example, for potassium from the lowest to the highest. And then considering what is the recommended daily intake, suggested by the USDA and also from European agency, we define which greens are a good source for each element. So, for example, at least 8 of those species are good source of potassium because they provide at least like 50% of what is the recommended daily intake. For phosphorus, the content was kind of average compared to other values reported in the literature, but none of the species could be considered like as a very good source of phosphorus. In the case of calcium, we identified at least 4 species that that are a good source of calcium. So scallion, red cabbage, amaranth, and Genoese basil were the best. For magnesium, only garnet red amaranth was considered a good source of, reached a level to be considered a good source of magnesium. Then regarding sulfur, we saw that all the brassicas and scallion that notoriously have organosulfur compounds had higher level of sulfur that really distinguished them from the other species. Another thing that we noticed is that all the microgreens, all the species, showed very low level of sodium, and so they could be considered for the diet of people that have a low sodium diet. We also look at the nitrate content. Here in U.S., the nitrate content is not regulated, but in Europe, it's considered important. There is no regulation regarding microgreens, but what we notice in this study is that except sunflower that had a low level of nitrate, all the other species had high or very high level of nitrate. Now, if the consumer is someone that does sport, that may be beneficial, but still nitrate is considered an anti-nutrient, so this may be something to watch. And what we consider is that if someone is having like a daily, with a daily consumption of 100 grams of microgreens, it's still like you will not overcome the limit for nitrate. So we did also the analysis of the micronutrients, iron, zinc, boron, manganese, and copper. And also here we saw a lot of variation. For iron, the variation was not really large, but the level were kind of average or below average because we didn't supply any iron in the solution, in the nutrient solution. And none of these species could be considered as a good source of iron. When we look at zinc instead, the content was pretty high for these young greens, and all of the microgreens that we have could be considered a good source of zinc, and especially sunflower showed really high level of zinc. So because we didn't apply that in the solution, most probably the seeds had a good reserve of zinc. Then we did some principal component analysis, and from this graph you can see that the first principal component accounted for 33.4% of the variability, and it really distinguished a lot from species that had higher yield from those that had lower yield, and the fresh yield was basically negatively correlated with the first principal component. The second principal component accounted for 27.4% of the variability, and it really distinguished between the species that had like higher mean shoot fresh weight, like sunflower, borage, and higher level of zinc from the other that had lower production and instead higher level of nitrate. Another thing that we can see here is that all the brassica grouped together and were characterized by higher level of sodium, sulfur, and also higher level of sodium. And scallion and schizo had like higher dry matter, but also higher magnesium and iron content. So in conclusion, we can say that the microgreens that we examined in this study showed large variation of fresh yield, shoot size, and mineral profile. Microgreens represent a good source of potassium, calcium, and zinc, at least in general. All the species examined had very low level of sodium, and excluding sunflower, which had low level of nitrate, all the species showed either high or very high level of nitrate. So that is something to watch and consider. I would like to thank the people that helped me in this study, and I will be happy to answer any question if there is time. Yes.
So what was your basis of choosing your specific cultivars in cabbage or kale? And also, what type of greens do you think they might have even looked at different cultivars within a specific?
Yeah, that is a good question. So the question is, what criteria we use to select the species, and also if we saw any difference between cultivars within the same species. So we didn't consider, except for the basil, that had we had green and red basil, we didn't consider other like cultivar for the same species, and we selected this particular genotype just because they are very popular among growers, and they have specific traits like specific color or specific shape that makes them very popular and very attractive for, you know, restaurant and you know, in general for consumers. So there are some like varieties that are proposed, but more or less it's pretty consistent what the market offers for microgreens, because it's a specific production where it's like for sprout, they have to make sure that, you know, there is no contamination. So the producer of seeds for microgreens are kind of still limited. So I will expect that there is some variation between varieties, so that's something that we should investigate in the future. Beside measuring the minerals, we also are looking at other metabolites and also at the flavor, and you know, we did sensorial analysis. So we tried to pick varieties that had, you know, contrasting taste, contrasting things, so that to see that variability. Thank you.